Morning. Is this coming in? Yeah, it's good. All right. Excellent. Hope the tryptophan has worn off. That's that chemical that makes you sleepy after eating turkey, if you're not into chemistry or trivia like me. So I hope you guys have had an awesome Thanksgiving. I bet we have some people who are leftovers, who are some Thanksgiving leftovers that are here with us today. I mean that in the most respectful way. I'm really excited that you're here. I hope that what we talk about today, what God brings to you, will be something that will be refreshing and be filling for you. Hope you come to this table and leave full. And so we're excited that you're here, and I hope I'll get to meet you. At the end of service, I'm going to stand back there, and if I haven't gotten to meet you, please come by, and I'd love to talk to you for just a little bit. One thing that you do need to know if you're a male, all right? So, ladies, you can just go ahead and go to wherever you go. If you're a guy, tonight we're having a men's worship. So men's inertia will be meeting tonight. Tyler's at 5:30? At 6. Man, I'm so bad with numbers. At 6 o'clock. All you guy type people, man, plan to come to the church, and we're going to have special men's worship together tonight. Women, I'm not saying you can't worship. You guys go ahead and worship, just not with us, all right? And so we'll get here at 6 o'clock, and it's going to be something that's going to be powerful and meaningful, I hope it's going to be something that blesses all of us together as brothers, as iron sharpening iron, as we sharpen one another. Let's go to God in prayer. God, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the gifts that we've been given, Lord, over the course of the last week. Father, and even as I thank you for that, Lord, I'm mindful that there are people, Father, who did not have happy Thanksgivings. Lord God, who wondered where the provision was coming from. Lord, who dealt with loneliness. Father, who dealt with abandonment. Lord, who needed to be restored. And Father, I pray that you have done that, and I pray that you are doing that, Lord. And I pray that as people of your kingdom, Lord, that we would not lose sight of the fact that as we rejoice, there are others who don't, Lord God, and that we would be people who would be mindful of that, that we would be compassionate, that we would bring joy to one another as vessels of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'd be with us today as we look at your word. Give us something that will grow us into a better picture of your son, Jesus, as we live life on this earth, Lord, as part of your kingdom. And we pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Who in here has ever felt troubled? Like you've felt uneasy, you've felt troubled. Anybody in here felt troubled? All right, that's most of us. One of my most troubled times was when Sarah was pregnant with Jaden. Two troubled times, and when Sarah was pregnant with Maddie. In both of those times, I was extremely troubled, and I mean not sleep at night, kind of troubled. The first time, I didn't know if I was ready to be a dad. I didn't know if I would be capable. I thought, man, I'm not going to be a good father. I'm going to really mess this up. You know, and if you've met Jaden, you know I did just that, right? I really messed it up. It was a time where I went through my days just worried. Just worried. And when we found out that we were having a boy, that made things a little better. But then we get pregnant with Maddie, and I find out we're having a girl, and it's all back on again because I'm not a girl, and I don't know how to deal with that, and I don't know how to walk with her through different portions of her life. So I just felt extremely troubled. I felt incapable. I didn't know if I'd be up to the task. And I still feel that way sometimes. I have to confess, because there are things that come into our lives as a family that I just look at and think, I feel unprepared. I don't know if I have the words. I don't know if I have the vocabulary for this. I don't know if I have the emotional expansiveness for this. And I just felt troubled. And so today, as we enter into a different month, as we kind of separate ourselves from Thanksgiving and we get into this Christmas season, I thought it would be fun for us to talk for the next 3 or 4 weeks about presents. Because that's what Christmas is about, right? Presents. But not presents with a T, presents with a C. God's presence. Because when you're troubled, that's one of the times that you most realize that you need God. And as we were talking about this with a few of our a group of people that we plan worship with, Don Cole shared a story with me, and I asked him if he'd be willing to share it with everyone. So Don, would you mind maybe coming up here and talking about that just for a few minutes?
I wrote this down so I wouldn't wander. As we were talking on Tuesday about God's presence, we came to the subject of being lost, what it's like to feel lost. And I shared this story with those who were there, and I'll share it with you. When I was 10 or 12 years old, something like that, my dad and I were over on some of our family's land where we had a small lake, and we were there working on that lake, as much work as a 10 or 12-year-old kid could do there. But we worked for a while, and then I asked my dad if I could take my gun and go squirrel hunting. And he said yes. So off I went. And I was thoroughly engrossed in looking for squirrels' nests high up in the trees, looking at birds that I might be able to take out and then brag to my best friend about, who was always a much better shot than I was. But anyway, I was by myself, and off I went. I got really engrossed in it, and I wandered farther and farther away from my dad in the process. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me that I didn't know where I was. I had no compass or any other equipment that I would later learn how to use, so I panicked. I began to move faster as if that would help. When you get lost, speed becomes irrelevant, and I became frantic. Moved faster and faster. What I needed was the calming presence of my dad, who was always a pillar of strength and stability for me, and he would remain that throughout his life until being overtaken by Alzheimer's later in life. But back to the woods. I kept wandering frantically, and I eventually came to a dirt road. At least I knew this road has to lead somewhere. So by the grace of God, I took a left turn, and it eventually led to some landmarks that I recognized, and as a result, I was able to make my way back to my dad. I've never been so glad to see him. Just as I was frantic while lost, I became instantly calm, went back in his presence. At some point, of course, the analogy between one's earthly father and our heavenly father breaks down. On Thursday afternoon, my son Eric and my son-in-law Keith and I went back to that property, and we walked over part of that area, and I was telling them what happened, some almost 60 years ago or so. And one of the things that struck me was that I didn't wander nearly as far as I thought I had, but it seemed to me like I was on the far side of the moon, and I didn't know where I was. At some point, this analogy breaks down. Acts 17:27 says that God is near. That may be true, but if you don't know that he's near, I mean down in your bones, that's precious little consolation. But he is near. And if there's distance between God and me, it's because of me. It's not because of him. And so while the analogy breaks down at some point, lost is lost. And it's miserable. And there's only one cure, and that's calm. And being at one in the presence of God brings a calm like no other. But I can't read Acts 17:27. Haven't for a long time been able to read that without reflecting on what it was like to be away from my dad and not knowing how to get back to him.
Thank you, Don, for sharing that. I really appreciate it because I think you can connect with that. I think we all can connect with that feeling. Maybe some of us did not have that kind of relationship with our father, but we did have it with someone. There was somebody in our lives that when we were with them, there was a sense of peace and a sense of safety. And what I've been thinking about over the course of the last week, and I'm going to try to hold it together as we talk about this just for a second, is the fact that I still get comfort from the fact that my father is still here and he's still alive. You know, and I don't know how many years we have left, or I have left, having that realization. But he's 4.5 hours away, even if he was 12 hours away. The fact that I know he is, it does something within me. And it brings about a peace, because that's what we're after, right, Don? In the midst of being lost, we're seeking peace. And I think that that's true even when everything is going right. I think that everything can be going right in your life. Everything can be going well, and you can still feel lost. You can get the job that you always wanted. You can have the bank account where you don't have to worry about whether you have to eat leftovers or that you can go out to eat. Or if somebody needs something, you can write them a check. You can have the GPA. You can be the athlete that everybody else wants to be and still feel lost, can't you? Still feel out of peace. And I think as we look through Scripture, time and time again, we'll see followers of God vacillate between feelings of success and closeness to God, to feelings of failure and being separated from God. But then there's other times in life where it just feels like the world is stacked against you and you're drowning in all the situations that occur in your life. And you just want some peace. You feel like Jesus is indeed asleep in the boat as the storms rage around you. And you just want that presence. And there's times in life where everything around you feels alien. And I think one of the things that, as Don and I were talking, you know, there's a point where when you get lost that you actually realize it, right? But you're lost before you realize it, right? You're always lost before you realize that you're lost, because if you knew the moment that you got lost that you were lost, you wouldn't be lost. You go, whoop, lostness is coming. I better stop or I'll be there, right? Because otherwise you really mean to be lost. And are you really lost if you're lost on purpose? I don't think so. But this time in life where everything is uncertain and I don't know what I'm stepping into next and it feels like the whole world is a fog. And I just want peace. I just want to feel the presence of Father God. Because it doesn't feel like he's near, even though he is. It doesn't feel like he's right there, even though he is. So often our response is to just go faster and further. Some of you may have the response of the minute trouble happens, you just sit down. Not a lot of us have that kind of response. You know, oh, there's wasps coming, let me sit down, right? Or, oh, there's this, I'm going to take a seat. You know, a few of us do. A few of us are like those fainting goats, right? Something happens, and we're down, right? But most of us, when we get lost, we get moving, don't we? And like a bug in a spider's web, what we do is just entangle ourselves more and more. We try to cover up more. We try to do more. When God is calling us to wait and realize that He is more and that He is for us. So I thought about that section of Scripture in Acts where Paul is speaking at the Areopagus, whatever it is, in Athens. And he's talking to this people who are searching, and they have this statue inscribed to the unknown God. And Paul says these words: God intended that people would perhaps, or that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. I was talking about this in our class this morning, but I had this tendency as a child to hide from my parents in stores, like in department stores. I would go and hide. So there'd be that circular rack of clothing. I would get inside of it and sit down, you know, and it's like, oh, you thought you were looking for textiles. Now you're looking for me, right? And I would sit down and be in there, and my mom got tired of it. So she was like, PJ, if you do this again, I will leave you. And I'm like, yeah, you're my mom. You'll never leave me. You're funny. I'll show you. Went and hid inside the clothing rack again. Mom's gone. Gone. I come out and I'm like, Mom, you know, where are you? And just looking around because I'm like 2.5 feet tall. You know, everybody's walking by me. All I see is waistbands and pants. And it's just the presence of people everywhere, but none of them are my people. And I search and search and walk around. I just take off, right? I'm looking, is she here? Is she there? And I'm thinking, no, she has kept her word. She's gone. And now I have to fend for myself. And it wasn't like that dream sequence that you think that, oh, you're trapped in a department store with all this food and fun and you can just have a grand old time. No, I was thinking, I'm going to die here and I'm going to have to eat cotton, or, you know, all these nightmare scenarios. And I finally sat down on the ground and began to just cry. I lost my composure. And then my mom walks around the corner because she'd been watching me look for her all this time. And guess who never hid in a clothing rack again? This guy. Never hid in a clothing rack again because I knew what it was like to be separated from the person who gave me peace. Dawson, you know what that's like, right? You got lost at a flea market this weekend, right? How long were you lost? An hour. How did that feel? Terrifying. It's a terrifying place to be in this place, and I think that we can all identify with that. And so here, I want us to take a second. Thank you for sharing that. I want us to take a second. We're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to go, or chapter 19. We're going to go back to the story of the prophet Elijah. A story that we've talked about over the past couple of months. And I think it's pivotal. I think it's important for us to look at this and consider this here, because Elijah had it all. He had it all. He had a great day in the presence of God, under the power of God, illustrating the might of God and the approval of God. And the next day he did not. The next day he did not. And that's where we'll pick up the story in 1 Kings chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he killed all the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I don't make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. And he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. He had a sidekick, and he took off running, and basically he said to his sidekick, all is lost. You don't want to go down with this ship. I'm going to leave you in a safe place, and I'm going to go somewhere else to hide. You ever been in that situation in life? Where it's like you felt like you've been found out, And anybody around you is going to be tainted by your presence. I think oftentimes when we feel down, we not only feel alone, we make ourselves alone. We push away from people instead of drawing near to them. And so he leaves his servant and he goes on this 40-day trip. And it's really cool if you sit down and read it, because angels make breakfast for him in this scenario. Like, if there's ever a sign of, hey, you're not actually as lost as you think you are, it's when you wake up and Cracker Barrel is there for you, right? You wake up and there's hot pancakes and fresh maple syrup on a stone, and an angel's like, here you go. At that point, I would have thought, if it were me, I would have eaten food and said, let's do this. But sometimes it's not enough, is it? Sometimes it's not enough. So he eats that, and the angel says, hey, you're going to need this for your journey. Goes back to sleep, wakes up, eats again, goes on a 40-day trip to a mountain called Horeb. Mount Horeb's an interesting mountain. It's called the Mountain of God because it's where Moses came into contact with a burning bush, if you remember that story. There's argument between Mount Horeb and Mount Sinai. Are they the same mountain? Are they mountains that are aside from each other? It's thought that you could at least see the other mountain. You could see one mountain from the other. It's possible that it's the same mountain that Moses goes up to receive the Ten Commandments. That's a possibility. Regardless, they're close to one another, and it's seen as the dwelling place of God. So what in essence happens is Elijah has a great day, a bad day, and he runs away. And what does he do? He goes to the place where he last knew God was. And if it takes him 40 days to get there, it's fine. And he gets to this place and he begins to hide in a cave. Verse 9, he came to a cave and he lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and he said to him, what are you doing here? Why are you here, Elijah? Goes through his speech. I've been zealous for you. I'm the last one left. There's nobody else faithful but me. It's all over. Our pets' heads are falling off, God. This is it. And we remember this moment. Verse 11, God says, go and stand on the mount before the Lord. And the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire, and after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out, and he stood at the entrance of the cave, and behold, there came a voice to him. And it said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? We've thought about this verse before, but have we considered this from the book of Job? The spirit glided past my face. The hair on my body bristled. A form loomed before my eyes, and I heard a whispering voice. You see, if we were to turn all the way back to the book of Genesis, we would see that this breath of God, the Hebrew word is ruach, and it means wind, and it means spirit, and it means breath. This breath of God, this whisper of God, it forms the world, and it breathes life. And it is the presence of God. And time again, you'll see God come to his people in the form of a whisper. And so as I read that, I thought about some times in my life where I've just really felt at peace. And one of those times, this may be true for you, it may not, is when I walk outside and I can be on vacation, I can be at my family's house, I can be at my house, I can be at Lake Lowndes. But if I walk outside into some trees, and the sun is shining down, and the wind blows across them, and those leaves begin to shake, and I hear that, I feel it inside of myself. When I feel the wind, I get a little portion of peace. And I don't think that's by accident. I don't think that's by accident. It's that whisper. It's that breath. It's that spirit that I need. And so what I want to do before we close today is I want to ask everyone, if you would, to just close your eyes. And I want to help you visualize something. And then I want to ask you to spend 1 minute in prayer. Okay, so close your eyes. Close your eyes and walk out into the woods. If you're terrified of the woods and what animals lurk in there, maybe not the woods. Walk out onto a beach. And I want you to feel that breeze caress your face. And I want you to hear that wind blow. And hear that movement of life all around you. And I want you to spend a minute with this question. What are you doing here? Hear that breeze and deal with that question. What are you doing here? Take a minute. You can continue to spend time in that if you want as I read these words of David. Oh Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, oh Lord, you know it all together. You can all open your eyes if any of you have them closed still. We live in a world, in a scenario in which our God is not far from any of us. For as Paul said, as the poet said, in him we live and move and have our being. And there are times in our lives, maybe it's the good times, maybe it's the bad times, maybe it's the uncertain times, where it just doesn't feel true. And we feel troubled. And we want peace in our spirit. And God intends that we seek Him in these times. And that we would reach out and we would find Him and discover, behold, He is not far from us. So as we close today, I want to invite you to return to the place where God is. And for you, it's not a mountain, I wouldn't think. Because God's Spirit dwells in His people. If you're in that place of trouble, I want to challenge you not to abandon the people who are in your life, but to embrace the people who are in your life. If you're in that place of loneliness and trouble, go to a person who is of God, who you have known to be faithful, and sit with that person and have him or her pray with you in the presence of God. Because as David said, Lord, take not your spirit from me. Restore to me the hope of salvation. He was calling out to say to God, God, I want to feel your breath on my cheeks again. Breathe a new spirit into me. And if that's not your place, if you're not in a time of trouble, be a person of God in the life of someone else. Because you are called to be the presence of God, the image of God, the ambassador for Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, living out His will amongst His people. And every one of us are vacillating between certainty and uncertainty at any given moment, and sometimes 100 times in the same day. It's not shameful to have doubt and have fear. And it's a blessing if you do experience that, to come to the presence of God's people and experience the presence of God. And so if you feel lost today, if you have needs, if you'd like to give your life to Christ in the waters of baptism, having your sins washed away and being made new, if you need to spend more time in the presence of God and would like to ask people of God to embrace you and enter into your life, we give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing. My own